Name of Jesus this morning. I don't know how many of you noticed that we have some new speakers. I kind of like them. They bring out some depth, or you know. This past week, I'm not sure what kind of a message we're going to have this morning. I'm just going to warn you a little bit. But yesterday, I had an experience that don't usually do on a Saturday morning when I'm asked to preach on Sunday. But it was an opportunity that I almost couldn't turn down. I went fishing. I didn't even like fishing. Well, I kind of. I should show you a picture that's kind of an optical illusion, but I'll pass on that. But this morning, as I thought of what all our church is going through, I thought of us. Each of us is a part of the body. The Bible talks about that in 1 Corinthians 12, and we'll get to that a little later, about how that each part is important. And this morning, you probably have felt differently in different times in your life as a part of the church, as a part of the body of Christ. But I think it's important for us to not have pride in our life. And I think sometimes we can have pride in our life by feeling like, we're not anybody. We're just, I don't know, an ingrown toenail. But each of us is a part of the body of Christ. And there's something about that picture that is just an awesome picture of God's family. And it mentions in verse 26 of chapter 12, it says that when one part suffers, we all suffer. And I know that I often feel very inadequate in being an assistant to someone who's going through hard times. I feel like I don't do enough. But I'm convinced, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that we need each other. And especially in those times, I think of Judy right now, especially of laying there in bed, and we know that that morphine causes some hallucinations, so she's trying not to use as much as she has any more than she has to. But I think it's those times when a person is alone to fight the enemy by themselves is hard. But I think it's an example that we should think of in our everyday walk of life. When we are going through hard times, and I know I've said this before, our tendency is to just to pull our neck back into our shell and to try to go it alone and just tough it out. We can do this by ourselves, right? We tend to do that because we want to be strong in the Lord, right? But it's like there are times in our life, I'm convinced, there are times, periods in our life that we go through that we are weak and we need someone to lean on, right? And sometimes we physically need to lean on somebody to help us to walk or whatever it is. But I think sometimes we need we need people to lean on in our spiritual life. And that doesn't mean we have to just expose everything that we go through in life. But it's important to have a friend and have a group of friends. And I would just like to stress this, that we have a safe place. And I commend you. I think we do have a safe place here. Of us leaning on each other. And even as a pastor, I don't know how Arlen and and Glenn and Steve have felt. But I think there are times when, with all this stuff going, it just feels overwhelming almost. And I know that Joyce and I spent the best part of the week in Niagara Falls. We had a company trip, and it was a really good time. But there's, in the back of my mind, I was thinking, you know, I knew that my Uncle Johnny wasn't doing very well. And the ironic thing is that last time I was at the Falls, my aunt died, the Johnny's wife. And that was back in, when our chorus went on tour in Canada, Kitchener, I don't know, was it 1942? No, it was before. It's been a while back. But anyway, I don't know, but there's something majestic about the Falls, isn't there? I don't know when they ever shut those falls off, but isn't it, to me, it's like the abundance of God's storehouse, isn't it? It's like just water. I think they said, 270,000 gallons of water go over the falls there in the horseshoe-shaped falls. I don't know if that's per second. That'd fill our pool up pretty quick, wouldn't it? But you think about that, that's just a lot of water, and it just keeps going and going, and all the days we were there, I don't think it slowed down. But I think of God didn't have to make that, did he? But he did. And I believe with all my heart that we don't worship that, for sure not, but I believe with all my heart that God gives us things to enjoy. Does that mean that life is easy? How many of you can testify that life is not always easy? Huh, right? It isn't always easy. But there's an underlying peace that is hard to explain. And I'd like to just go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 12, beginning in verse 12. And we'll see what God has in store for us. And I'm going to probably relate the story about my cousin Glenn, if I can get through that. But I really feel led to share that this morning. And so we'll see. Sometimes I wish that I wasn't quite built like this either, to just cry at a... I cry too easy. But anyway, I'm okay, I think. Verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit," this is the New King James Version, "we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." And I don't know how many of you have ever looked at the Message translation or whatever it is. I thought it was kind of interesting. I'm not going to read that whole thing in that, but I might just bring some points out from that. I think it's kind of interesting if you can visualize here. What if our foot would say that? I'm not a hand, so I'm not part of the body. But don't we do that kind of in church sometimes? It's like, well, I can't do that well. So, but the other thing that kind of made me turn to this is as I was looking at pictures of the youth in their time in Detroit, and I thought of each body part. That doesn't sound very good, does it? But I thought of each part, each person doing their part. And I don't know if you had any problem with this up there in Detroit, where one group says, we don't want to be in this station, we're going to go over there. we want to do that because we feel we can do that better. I mean, after all, I could probably sing better than those guys over there. We'd like to go over there, right? I don't know if you had any of that, but I don't think that you did, probably. Is that true? You didn't have any of that? Okay. Thank you, Jessica. But as I think of that, those are pictures of the work of God, with each person having a common goal. And I think that is what we have as a church, is that our common goal is, number one, is to reach heaven, to know that I am personally saved, that my heart is right with God, but it's also to show others the way. And there are a lot of hurting people in this world. We know that. But anyway, just blew it. Last night, I saw one such person walking on County Road 35 who has a problem with drugs. He's probably in his 30s. And really struggling in life. And the bottom line is that he doesn't want to commit his life to the one who can redeem him. There is a redeemer, and it's Jesus Christ. But if we go through life with the idea that I don't need that, I don't need Jesus, it's going to be a hard life. If you think the Christian has a hard life, it's nothing compared to the non-Christian. We have a Jesus that takes us and leads us through life. Most of you know Aaron Swartz. And I think there's another person we need to pray for. But there's a lot of people like that in this world that need Jesus. And so, as Christians, our goal is to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. We are representatives of Jesus Christ. We are the picture of Jesus Christ. We are maybe the only Jesus some people will ever see. And I don't know what kind of picture people get sometimes of me. And that's a challenge for me. But as we think of the body, of us working together, I'm blessed. This is a richness to have you. I know that there's a greater body besides just our church. There's a greater body of believers who are part of the body of Christ. I realize that. But I also think of us as a small body of believers who gather together every Sunday. And I just think it's interesting how this passage brings out the importance of each part, or lists some of the parts at least. Verse 16, and if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the message says this, if the ear said, I'm not beautiful like the eye, limpid and expressive, I don't deserve a place on the head, would you want to remove it from your body? But then let's suppose that the whole body were an eye. Can you visualize that? I don't know if that's good to visualize or not. But the message says that we would probably resemble a monster, wouldn't we? If the whole body were an eye. Someone has said it this way. If the whole body were an eye, how would we blink? If the eye, where would be the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And I don't know if I fully understand that or not. But I think it's something that we should recognize as well.
God has sent the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. And as I was thinking of sharing this, I think it was yesterday morning, I woke up pretty early and I thought of the verse that says in Ephesians that the body being fitly framed, joined together, Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the treasure of a measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Edifying the body. But we're fitly framed. I like that. We are all fitly framed, okay? So it doesn't matter how old you are, how young you are. We are fitly framed here. We're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. And so God set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And as they were all one member, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now, indeed, there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Verse 25, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have same care for one another. I've entitled my message just Members One of Another. But as I thought of that verse as well, that the members should have same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, these then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And we know that that's, the answer is no, that we don't all do that. And then in the last phrase it says, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And we know that chapter 13 follows this, where it talks about love. I show you a more excellent way. And so as a body of Christ, we are to be one another's. And I know that years ago we studied the book How to Better Serve, I think, by Simon Schrock, the One Anothering book. And I think we need to be reminded, or I do, that as a Christian, as a body, as a part of the body, I'm called on to serve. Whenever I am absent from that table, as it were, of us gathering together, there's something about participation that is a blessing. And sometimes people say, well, you know, I don't feel like I do much. But there's something about you just being here and your faithfulness that is huge. And if you can just think of yourself of that body part that is necessary to be here, I think it's an encouragement to the one beside you. Maybe you are the neck. Maybe you are, and I don't know if we can compare parts or whatever, but let's face it, if we didn't have all the parts, we'd suffer, right? We couldn't do anything. And one of the things I thought of is is that there are times when a member passes away, and we know that that's the case for all of us, isn't it? I mean, death is 100%, has been so far. Even Lazarus, he died again, didn't he? He was raised from the dead by Jesus. And what happens when that part of the body dies? But I think there's a regeneration of parts filling in. At least the whole. And I don't know how to explain that all. I don't think I'm going to attempt to do that. But the important part is this, is that we stand by each other. And as I look out, we've all gone through things. And I think of Gerald with your eye, laying there. That's not the most enjoyable thing to do, to go through. And I felt kind of helpless, actually. But I think if we can kind of let each other know that I'm standing with you. And even with Ed, his passing of his dad just recently, to know that we are standing with you the best we can. And I know that Thelma lost her dad. Anna lost her brother just recently. And Norma lost her brother-in-law, John. There's just a lot of those things that we go through that, I mean, I could go on and on, that are not pleasant. And yet, I think we have a desire to stand with each other. And I guess that's my exhortation, is that we, a couple weeks ago, I talked about being dependent, independent, and being dependent on God. But I think we as a church, we need to be interdependent, don't we? Interdependent is different even than codependent, isn't it? It's like we, each part moving helps the next part. And that part means something maybe more to me because of this part. Does that make sense? Like Abe, for example, he means a lot to me. And Marlene means a lot to me, but Marlene means a lot to me because of Abe, maybe. I don't know. Does that make sense? Are the people that we are around affect each other? And we have parts like Marshall. And we enjoy those parts. And Tim. And every part is important and special. And I was going to share a little bit more on John chapter 13, 34 and 35. because of time, I think I'm going to, that's just some of the one anothering. And we know that that the Bible, Jesus said this, I give you a new commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. There's power in a church working together, even though there's lots of differences, lots of different parts. We don't all think alike, I know that. But there's power in us working together and having a love one for another. Maybe that's the top one another that there is that we love one another and that we begin to love each other unconditionally. That's hard. I know that. But it's a new kind of love, Jesus said. I'd like to just share a little bit of the story of my cousin. Yesterday morning when we were on the lake, We were on the lake by a little bit after 7. I don't know how many of you were out, but there was a mist coming off the lake, and the water was just as glass smooth as could be. And like I said, I'm not that much of a fisherman, but just that time spent together, and I don't know, I find it amazing how God works and places us in places sometimes. And I mentioned that my cousin Glenn is in a rehab place, and we had the privilege of having his dad. They live right by the lake there, Cass Lake, and we went out on his pontoon, and we were fishing for a while, and finally the subject came up about Glenn, his son, and he just related the story, and we were drifting on a lake, and we were drifting into an area where you couldn't even fish hardly, you know. But I don't think any of us cared that much. We just kind of put our poles down and listened. And Orly shared the story. And part of the reason I say this story is this, is that when someone goes through a time like that, then is when they need people to lean on as well. There's a lot of harsh judgments made, kind of like maybe in our Sunday school lesson today, of self-righteousness. And there's a lot of stories that have come out because of this happening. But just kind of a short story of what happened. My cousin Glenn had been involved in drugs as a teenager, and even he was probably in his 30s when he got married. And he struggled with those kind of things, and he had relapses sometimes. And I think about a year ago he might have had a relapse, and he is a leader of a church. But he repented and made his things right with the church and with God. But just recently, his wife noticed that it seemed like he was gone longer. He was coming home late. And so one day she decided she's going to go to the store and just see, you know, what's going on. And she discovered that he was using some drugs of some kind. I don't know what kind, but she... and so... He knew that he needed help, and so he wanted to make arrangements to go in front of the church, and it just so happened that Paul Slaybaugh was at their church, and he's an Amish bishop as well. Some of you may know Paul Slaybaugh, who was actually in prison for drugs at one time. And in that service, this Paul Troyer gave his life story. But Glenn had decided that was the morning that he would go before the church and just reveal what's been going on. But in that service, it was like a God thing that Paul came right at that Sunday. And I think he said he had never shared his story in public before, from the time he was 12 to the time he went through prison and things. But I say these things as a picture of how God orchestrates things, that we have no idea how things are going to happen, but he can orchestrate things way beyond what we ever think. And so in that service, there was a young man whose girlfriend had decided to join church, and he had a problem with drugs. And she told him that I'm done with you. We can't go on this way anymore. He was at that service as well. And so this young man, along with the man who was involved in an accident in Topeka, can't think of his name. He killed a biker, a bicyclist. And Glenn are all at, is it 612 in Ohio? And I just find it interesting how God orchestrates things. And I know that when people go through tough things, and I share this because I think we often, or I do, you hear these juicy stories, but I'll tell you something. But for the grace of God, there go I. So as I think of my life, and I'm guilty of judging people sometimes. I'll confess that. You make a reaction, a judgment. But there are addictions other than just drugs that are problems amongst us, probably. We often think of addictions as drug addictions, alcohol addictions, nicotine addictions, sex addictions, whatever. But they can be other addictions. It can be work. It can be whatever it is. Anything that is drawing me away from the truth and into my own world and into my own. Yeah. So it's important for us to be. I think in the day and age we live in, I think we're reminded again, just because of just those shootings, and it's like we live in the last times. But that doesn't need to be depressing. Because I think of the fact that when you are a part of the body of Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did on the cross, he is in the business of restoring honor and glory to you, back to you, back to me. We don't seek that honor and glory, maybe, but that's what he wants to do with you. He wants to give you the honor and glory that he made. He created us for. He created us to bring honor and glory to him. But in that honor and glory rests on us. And I've shared this before. In 1 Peter 1, it talks about the whole thing of when we see Jesus, all that honor and glory will be restored to us. Praise the name. As I think of us being members one of another, I'd like to just look at a couple different verses yet. Why don't I mute this? Oh. First Thessalonians 5:11 says this: therefore, encourage one another and build up one another, just as you also are doing. And I think you're doing that. And then Romans 14:19 says this: so then we pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. Hebrews 3:13, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called the day, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. Jude 1:20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. There's a lot of one another's. Mark 9:50 says, be at peace with one another. Don't grumble amongst one another. John 6:43, be of the same mind one toward another. Romans 12:16 and also 15:5. Accept one another. Romans 15:7. Wait for one another. It talks about that in 1 Corinthians 11. When you're doing communion, you wait for one another. But I think it means that in other ways as well. Bear with and forgive one another, Colossians 3:13. Be kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving one another, Ephesians 4:32. Don't complain against one another, James 4:11. I know there's a lot of one another's. I found this. One another's I can't find in the New Testament. And this may sound kind of humorous. But here is some one another's that we do not find in the Word of God. For example, sanctify one another. When we try to do that sometimes, we try to be the Holy Spirit. We sanctify, we try to humble one another, scrutinize one another, pressure one another, embarrass one another, corner one another, interpret one another, defeat one another, sacrifice one another, shame one another, marginalize one another, exclude one another, judge one another, run one another's lives, and confess one another's sins. I thought in some ways this may seem kind of humorous, but I think it's really, there's a lot of truth in this. We cannot do that. We're not called to do those things. We're called to encourage one another and to try to walk in and to try to see things from their perspective, and that's hard. Well, I don't know if this makes any sense, this sermon has made any sense, but I hope that it has directed us just to the whole thing of the fact that I need you, we need each other in as a part of the body. And we hurt when others hurt in our body. I'm going to just close with a word of prayer. After that, I'm going to open it up. If somebody wants to share something, I'll open it up for you to share. And then I'm going to share this song yet. I don't know if we know it, but I thought of this in Sunday school. We're part of the family that's been born again. If I can get this to cooperate. The chorus goes this way. It says, sometimes sometimes we laugh together. Join in if you know it. Sometimes we cry. Sometimes we dream together. Heartache and strife. Sometimes we... how it will be when we all get to heaven. God's family. I just saw that song. I thought, sometimes we laugh together. Sometimes we cry. And I think maybe sometime we need to get that song and see if we can sing it a little better than that. But let's just bow our heads for prayer. Our Father in heaven, you know us inside and out. And you know our needs. You know that we are frail human people. And right now, I think of us as a church as we go through some things, hard things, We think of those who are in the hospital right now. We think especially of Judy this morning. We know that barring a miracle, she will pass away. And from this life to the next. And yet, we know that that is not the end. It is only beginning. And so we thank you for the provisions that you have made because of your son, Jesus, who has made a place for us and also made a way for us to get there. And so we rest in that, knowing that you, Jesus, are the Messiah. You are the way, the truth, and the life, and we proclaim that today. I pray a blessing on each one who is gathered here today as we leave this place, God. May we be inspired to be your ambassador, to live for you, to carry on, to exhort each other, to encourage each other. Thank you so much for the way that this group of people has encouraged me in my life. I just thank you so much for that richness. I just ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.